we're certainly working with our elected officials to help us in the National Defense Authorization Act to get after the rest of that budget.
Okay. I know it's a little hard to hear, but the point is that you have this second hangar that's been, you know, it's completely unusable. And this would be to restore that hangar just to being not condemned condition, basically, 3260, because then that would free up resources to move into that hangar, which instead of having everything spread all around, like she's talking about having the repair work that's done on the life support systems for the planes that are used by Training Air Wing 6 or the ejection seats to make sure that they're in proper shape, that, you know, those things are all in inconvenient places that create inefficiencies. And opening up that other hangar, 3260, through the military construction funding budget to make that work, that's the goal. And not just because, you know, people think it's the Blue Angels, and they're like, why aren't the Blue Angels having their proper facilities? Well, that's not really the point at all.
Parallel effort, if I can't get the MILCON through National Defense Authorization Act and monies that way, I already have a legislative proposal that has gone up to D.C., along with a major land acquisitions proposal to basically look at the commercial solution. So Pensacola International and the teams that we've had a lot of teams go over to Pensacola International and the project that they've done there for about $70 million, which is meets or exceeds the requirements that I have. Now there's certain restrictions, American labor, Buy American Steel, all the things that we do in the Department of War that the commercial industry doesn't necessarily have to abide by. So costs are increased on that. But basically, if I can go into a competitive commercial market for this facilities and the infrastructure that I need, not just for that hangar, but then to leverage it for other projects as well, the commercial solution, much like what I'm doing for the barracks with RISE on Corey Station, I can build it at about 25 to 30% of the cost of what Navy facilities will do. Why not use the commercial solution?
So what she's talking about is using private contractors instead of military construction. You can save a ton of money, 70 to 75% of the cost. Like, for example, the folks who built all of the hangars or are building all of the hangars over at the airport, those same folks could be used to now build something, you know, to restore this hangar. And she can do it a lot more cheaply through the IGSA, the Intergovernmental Support Agreement or Services Agreement. I forget what the S stands for. It's one of those two. That she's also, we played this previously, they're building a barracks out at Corey Station to increase the capacity there because right now they're overburdened. They're trying to put too many students through an underdeveloped infrastructure. Anyway, those IGSA is what Whiting Field has been using for years or has been starting to using in recent years, and now they're trying to use them at NAS Pensacola. Brilliant stuff. Using the private sector to cut costs and find ways where you don't have enough funding from the Department of the Navy. Let's see. PJ has got traffic on the fives. PJ?
The front gate of NS Pensacola is backed up to Interbay. Otherwise, no accidents or delays to report. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer and fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, weekdays 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
This week, Dear Otherin, is yet another opportunity to celebrate the triumphs of our cause, for today is not a day of holy cancellation, but a jubilant day of praise, all good news. Our first positivity report is for the burgeoning antigamy movement in the United States, which is being facilitated by modern technology. Antigamists, as you might guess, are people who do not want to be married, but who are still interested in having children. What some are calling the Babies Without Vows movement, or Offspring Minus the Ring subculture, is made up of people who want the personal satisfaction of raising another human without all the entanglements and complexities of having to share their lives with another adult. Several apps cater to such people in a variety of commitment-free flavors. Just a Baby is a dating-like app where instead of romantic partners, you're swiping for compatible egg and sperm donors or co-parents. The idea is to create a relationship similar to that of an amicably divorced couple, agreeing to share the burdens of raising a child together without any love lost between the adults. Modamily specifically focuses on people who want children, but for those who only want to have them with friends, not with romantic partners. Friends without benefits, you might say. And Co-Parent Match and Pollen Tree both help people find platonic co-parenting partners. Thus, instead of trusting in marriage itself to use parenthood and the stresses it brings to purge romance from a regular marriage, these people are skipping the painful desexification process entirely and jumping ahead to the sex-free detente phase, or what some people refer to as the I have a headache tonight for the next 18 years stage right from the start. What a beautiful assault on that oppressive, anachronistic, and hopelessly religious institution of the patriarchy, monogamy. As 483rd wave feminism has taught us, covenantal, unconditional, sexually exclusive marriage to a single person for the rest of your life, for good or for bad, in sickness and in health, until death do you part, is an absurd and wicked system designed to enslave women and turn them into barefoot domesticated tradwives, begging for financial support from their overlord husbands, instead of flourishing into the equal participants in the spiritually fulfilling world of jobs and bosses, which has long been denied to them. If there is anything, any one single essential thing that has always stood at the heart of Christianity and Western so-called civilization, it's been the nuclear family, dad, mom, and progeny. That's why we have always taught that the best way to eradicate Christianity and disrupt that annoying faith in Christ so many people have has always been to undermine marriage in any way possible. And clearly the best way to do that is to separate sex from procreation and from commitment and from sacrificial love and from permanence. Premarital sex, pornography, contraception, abortion, divorce, and every other deviation from the so-called trad family have all been part of the process of overthrowing Christianity and Western civilization in favor of the genderless, atheistic new age of sexual liberation, enlightenment, and bland grayscale boredom we dream of. And finally, the moment is here. Instead of being born into a permanent relationship that shows unconditional love between the opposite gender spouses, children now can be born into the insecure temporary scenario of being wanted, at least in the beginning, by two people who met a few weeks before and have nothing holding them permanently together. Just think of how fulfilling this will be for those children. This truly is a glorious development, and we sing forth with our loudest joyful wailing that marriage is dead, antigamy is here, and if all goes well, no child will ever need to know the safety and security of being born to parents who committed their lives to each other forever, ever again. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, the city of Amsterdam has become the very first capital in the world to ban public ads for fossil fuels, airline travel, and meat. Oh, Gaia-luyah! What a glorious day! Noticing that their public ads did not jibe with their goal of becoming carbon neutral by 2050, the Dutch city decided that it made no sense to be actively pursuing green policies as a government while allowing the planet-killing forces of carnivoria, petroleum, and air travel to use public spaces to promote the opposite. Once they realized that it's okay to highly regulate ads for alcohol and tobacco products, it was just a simple step to conclude that ads for eating meat, driving, and flying are just as dangerous as killing your lungs or your liver through substance abuse, and thus anything encouraged that such activity could be banned. As Anneke Verhoef of the Dutch Green Left Party told the BBC, quote, I mean, if you want to be leading in climate policies and you rent out your walls to exactly the opposite, then what are you doing? And to think, all it took was a little abandonment of free speech, something we've never really believed in anyhow. When asked whether this loss of freedom is a problem for her constituents, Anke Baker, the leader of the Dutch Party for the Animals, said this move actually expands freedom when you think of it. Everybody can just make their own decisions, but actually we are trying to get the big companies not to tell us all the time what we need to eat and buy. So in a way, we're giving people more freedom because they can make their own choice, right? Such an elegant gaslight. When someone says you're restricting freedom, just pretend you're actually increasing it and hope they can't do logic. Wonderful move. Of course, this tracks very tightly with our own political principles, since the only reason we say we believe in freedom of speech is to protect our political speech until we have enough power to stop other people from saying things we dislike. That's because we believe that words change beliefs and beliefs produce actions, so the constant marketing of planet-killing evils like pork, planes, and petrol is coercing people to engage in those activities, which they wouldn't were it not for the persuasion of the propaganda. Now, it is true, thus far, Amsterdam has not seen fit to expand the program to its logical end, in which the greener a company is, the more its ads will be subsidized by the government, and the less green a company is, the more ads it will be taxed as a punishment to support the greener competitors. If the government isn't here to lead us in the practice of holy virtue signaling by suppressing bad speech and favoring good speech, well, I just don't know what a government is even for anymore. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, this week's mahogany and pearwood sitar of superiority 14 bamboo shoots goes to a very unlikely hero. Prepare yourselves. Pope Leo XIV, or as Her Highness Ilhan Omar would say it, Pope Leo Xiva.
The last time the Alien Enemies Act was invoked, it was used during World War XI.
Now, I know, it might seem a bit radical of us to present the leader of the Roman Catholic Church with such an esteemed instrument of spiritual power as the sitar of superiority, but hear me out. Or, to put the matter more accurately, hear him out.
First of all, I think it's very important to understand that the unity or division of the church should not revolve around sexual matters.
Now be honest. Even with all the rumors about a liberalizing of the centuries-old doctrines of traditional sexual morality in the church as derived from the Bible, did you ever dream we would come to the day when the Pope himself would be telling Catholics that views on sexual morality should not define the church and orthodoxy? Us either. But here we are. What began as priests wanting Pope Francis's permission to bless same-sex Catholic couples apart from the sacrament of marriage has now become Pope Leo saying that sexual morality isn't even essential doctrine in the Catholic Church anymore.
We tend to think that when the church is talking about morality, that the only issue of morality is sexual. And in reality, I believe there are much greater, more important issues, such as justice, equality, freedom of men and women, freedom of religion, that would all take priority before that particular issue.
Frankly, this is just amazing. He could almost be one of us. Does this mean the Catholic Church will no longer consider premarital or homosexual or extramarital behavior to be sinful? Does it mean divorced people will be able to take communion? We really don't know, and he hasn't exactly said. But it sure does change things for Catholics when the Pope rejects the New Testament's teaching on sexual sin being as great in seriousness as any other sin, and instead relegates it to at best a second-class status, sort of a moral misdemeanor, if you will. Now, it is true, we don't love him implying that there still is such a thing as lower-level sin or B-grade fornication. We'd certainly prefer him to say that all sexual activity is perfectly fine as long as it is validated within the bounds of the most holy sacrament of mutual consent agreements. But to get a Catholic leader to say sexual sin isn't so bad, after all, is a major accomplishment. A radical evolution, you might say, for the head of the Holy See. So good for you, Pope Leo the Xiva. for finally bringing the Catholic Church into modernity. That's one small sentence for a man, but one giant leap for acronym kind into the MMIist century. Benefactum, Your Excellency. Benefactum. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
628 News Radio 92.3. PJ has got traffic for you. PJ?
I-10 and 110 are both looking good right now. Not showing any slowdowns on Pine Forest. I'm PJ with your traffic on the 5s.
And you had not heard the Ilhan Omar World War 11, had you?
I had not.
Well, I mean, this is how we're reading Roman numerals now. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. The Trump administration's new counterterrorism strategy targets, reportedly targets left-wing groups, Islamic extremists, and narco-traffickers. Sebastian Gorka, senior director for counterterrorism, releasing the strategy this week, claiming that 2025 saw more left-wing terror attacks than right-wing for the first time in three decades. Memphis Democrat calling for the city to cut ties with Tennessee after Republican lawmakers carved up its only majority black district. The new congressional map was approved by Tennessee lawmakers Thursday and signed into law by Governor Bill Lee. Democrat Congressman Antonio Parkinson responded by saying, quote, "Let my people go and let Memphis secede from the state." So.
Well, would the Bass Pro Shop pyramid be in or out?
That's a good question.
That's the only thing I want to know. Is Rendezvous in or out when they secede? All right. David, thanks so much for the update. One of the coolest little stories that has gotten all of us who love military and naval aviation excited is that the Senate has now passed unanimously the legislation preserving the last three F-14 Tomcats in existence and releasing them to potentially be used as displays, but maybe even to fly in the air once they're stripped of anything that might be helpful to enemies like Iran, who still maybe has some F-14s. Not sure if we've destroyed them all.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Trump says a ceasefire remains in effect after U.S. airstrikes on...
And Thursday night, opponents of a potential ordinance argued the outcome is already clear. Speakers pointed to Walton County's costly experience defending customary use in court as a cautionary tale. Attorney and property owner Mark Hearn laid out what his experience showed.
Walton County's now concluded customary use litigation is instructive on this point. The county there sued 1,194 private parcel owners, and after 5 years of litigation and millions of dollars in legal fees, every single represented owner who objected, 1,099 of them, obtained a finding, a judicial finding, that customary use does not exist on their parcel of property.
The county is currently collecting public input through an online portal at myescambia.com. That'll run through August 28th. Opponents argue the county's own history of posting no trespassing signs on private beach property makes it impossible to claim public use has been continuous, one of the four legal standards required to establish customary use. An 18-year-old Pensacola woman is behind bars without bond after allegedly robbing a man at gunpoint, hitting him in the face with a gun, and then chasing the victim's vehicle down the road. Deputies say Adriana Barron approached her sister's boyfriend at a home on Holly Hill Road Wednesday morning, pointed a gun at him, demanded he empty his pockets, and hit him in the face. She then allegedly pointed that gun at a second man before all three victims fled in a truck. Barron allegedly then followed the truck and tried to run it off the road before fleeing from deputies. Escambia County Commissioners approved $7.2 million in tourist development tax funding on Thursday to help complete the 2026 Santa Rosa Island Beach Renourishment Project. The total project cost on that is just under $30.4 million. The county's contribution will be repaid over 5 years through the annual TDT budget process. And the Pensacola Ice Flyers will continue playing at the Bay Center through at least April of 2027. Commissioners approving the second and final one-year extension available under the current ice hockey license agreement. That extension comes as the county and the city are actively planning a major renovation of the Bay Center and a potential second sheet of ice through a public-private partnership with Ice Flyers owner Greg Harris. It's 6:34 here, News Radio 92.3. A lot of activities in downtown Pensacola this weekend. And News Radio's Chris Bryan with this report. He says it'll be a lot of family fun.
The 2026 Navy Day celebration is underway this weekend in Pensacola. You can catch the Navy Day's parade 10 a.m. Saturday. Enjoy the Modern El Dorados concert Sunday at 6 in Museum Plaza. And tour the Coast Guard cutter Dolphin at Plaza de Luna free from 10 to 5 today and tomorrow and 10 to 3 on Sunday. B&J's reporting the cutter will remain docked at Plaza de Luna throughout Navy Days. Chris Bryan, News Radio, 92.3.
6:35, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with PJ.
Travis brought to you by Home Outlet in Pensacola, where you'll find flooring for every budget and big savings on your next home project. Taking a look at the big board, let's see here, US 98 eastbound right near Navarre between Rosewood Drive and Whispering Pines Boulevard, seeing quite a bit of congestion right now. Otherwise, no accidents or delays to report. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
And now our Channel 3 weather forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
We will have a high chance of rain today, 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 77 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 68. For Saturday, 90% chance of some showers and thunderstorms, high near 79. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 68 degrees. Heading into your Mother's Day, we will keep the rain chances around with a high near 81 degrees. And Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 72. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
We've got 65 degrees with cloudy skies. Your next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I know that hiring can be challenging. You sort through tons of resumes and you get too many so-so applicants. You're just waiting for someone to match your role perfectly. Well, now there's a place where you can meet them fast. ZipRecruiter.
Need to hire right away. Start your search. For strong candidates, the right fit awaits. Build your team, build it sooner. Meet your match on ZipRecruiter.
Just head to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try it for free. And you're on your way to meeting your match. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So try it now. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Meet your match on ZipRecruiter. Try it free.
Selling a home is personal, and it can feel overwhelming before you even know where to start. A lot of homeowners are told that if they question the cost of selling, it means they are cutting corners or taking risks. That simply isn't true. Wanting clarity and fairness doesn't make you cheap, it makes you thoughtful. I'm Miriam Rogers with Poppy Properties. I offer a full service listing for only 1%, saving you thousands. And my easy exit agreement means you're never locked into a relationship that isn't working. You still get professional marketing, photography, negotiation, and guidance from contract to closing. What you get less of is pressure. What you keep more of is your equity. This isn't about doing less. It's about doing what's right for you, your situation, and your future. If you're thinking about selling and want to start with information instead of obligation and learn more about my 1% listing model, visit my website at forsalebymiriam.com. That's forsalebymiriam.com.
When you're a contractor juggling jobs, schedules, and suppliers, you need a partner you can count on. At Home Outlet, we work with pros every day, helping you get the products you need when you need them. From cabinets and flooring to millwork and install materials, our employee owners make it easy. You'll find in-stock options, dependable service, and products backed by our guaranteed lowest price, so you can stay on schedule and on budget. Home Outlet, better service for every project. HomeOutlet.com.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at George Stone Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from George Stone Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You know what keeps most people up at night?
It's not politics.
It's money. Dave Ramsey helps you take control of it, one decision at a time.
Real callers, real situations, and straight talk about getting out of debt, building wealth, and finally telling your money where to go.
Where to go.
Instead of wondering where it went.
Where it went.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights 7 to 10 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
The government conducted a search of petitioner's location history, and the warrant that purported to authorize that search violated the Fourth Amendment. The government conducted a search. The court should hold that people have a property interest in their data, in their accounts on the cloud. Location history has the core attributes of property. Petitioner had a right to exclude, to control, and to destroy.
So, this is Adam Unikowsky. He is the lawyer representing the plaintiffs in the case, a guy who was convicted of bank robbery in the Chatry case versus U.S., the Supreme Court case that I kind of talked a little bit about yesterday with Eric Winstrom, the chief of Pensacola police. This is a really interesting case. It's probably not one you have heard much about because it deals with a subject that you probably haven't ever even known was going on. Geofence warrants. The idea is that in this particular case, for instance, you had a bank robbery and the police went to Google and said, hey, tell us everybody who had a phone in the vicinity of this bank within 150 meters, a half hour before and a half hour after the bank robbery. And Google, because it has a thing called track your history of location data, where you can allow it to keep where you have been in its servers, they said, okay, sure. And what they came back with was a list of 19 accounts. Not the names of the account owners, just that there were 19 accounts linked to devices within 150 meters of the bank during 30 minutes before and after. Based on that list, the government then asked Google for more information about 9 accounts in the area during a two-hour period. Third, finally, a detective asked for and received the names and information of 3 accounts, one of which was Chatry, who was eventually convicted for bank robbery. They're at the Supreme Court arguing, this is an unconstitutional search of his private information because even though you might have gotten a warrant, they did get a warrant, okay, and then went to ask Google, they weren't justified in searching everybody's history the way they did. They would only have been justified in searching the history of someone who was a likely suspect, Chatry, but they used it to find him, not to search him, and so it is an unjustified search of basically everybody, including him, because there wasn't probable cause for the search in the first place.
Additionally, petitioner had a reasonable expectation of privacy in his location history, given both its sensitive and revealing nature and the fact that it was stored in his password-protected account.
You've got your location history stored in your password-protected individual account at the Google servers, and you do not expect the government to have the ability to just go rifling through that to look for something to give them justification to come prosecute you.
The warrant violated the Fourth Amendment. The warrant authorized the government to direct Google to search every single person's account to find those people who were within the geofence. That is a general warrant. Even if the search materialized only when the data was found and exposed to the police, the warrant would still be unconstitutional because there was not probable cause to search the virtual private papers of every single person within the geofence merely because of their proximity to the crime.
Just because you were close to a crime within the geofence, the time and the space limitation they're talking about, does not render you subject to a search without any right to resist or without any expectation of privacy for what you might have happened to be carrying on you or on your phone or in your digital account at that time. It's a Fourth Amendment violation, and none of that could be used to prosecute you because it would all have been excluded evidence. John Roberts, Chief Roberts.
But I guess I'd respectfully disagree with that.
Oh, sorry, here we go. This is the beginning.
If you don't want the government to have your location history, you just flip that off. You don't have to have that feature on your phone. So what's the issue?
I take the point that you can flip it off, but I guess I just don't agree that one should have to flip off one's location history as well as other cloud services to avoid government surveillance. I mean, by the same token, you don't have to send email. You can flick that off as well, but that doesn't imply that you're implicitly consenting to the government searching one's email.
Well, not implicitly consenting, but the only reason the government has access to this information is because you've decided to make it public to the extent it can be accessed by people any number of ways. In other words, people can use that information, not simply law enforcement.
Well, I guess
it's like if you don't want them to peer into your window, you can close your window or the shades.
I take the point, Your Honor, but I guess I'd respectfully disagree with that assessment for a couple of reasons.
He's raising the point that you have to opt in for this service. You're providing it to Google, and once Google has it, then the government can ask them to search it. And if you don't want them to have it, then, you know, be a better thief. You know, opt out of the service or don't disclose it or turn your location data off on your phone.
So first of all, I think you could say the same thing about, you know, sending mail. If you don't want the government to look in your mail, you don't have to send it and give it to the Postal Service, or the same thing with a safety deposit box. But I think that, you know, one should be permitted to hand over data to a third party without assuming the government is going to look at it, especially since, you know, it's true in this case petitioner was convicted of the crime, but geofence warrants mostly ensnare innocent people. In this case, you had 19 people within the geofence whose data was exposed, as well as two other devices whose actual identity was exposed. And, you know, Google received 9,000 of these warrants in 2019. So I don't think an innocent person should have to shut off these services as a condition of not being surveilled.
Thousands and thousands and thousands of these warrants are issued all the time. As even, you know, you heard Chief tell me yesterday that, you know, he's had many that they have used. Law enforcement will tell you that this is an essential service so that they can find suspects based on the parameters of the geofence warrant. Elena Kagan.
Do the numbers make a difference?
By the way, that means your data has been searched this way. This is not like some theoretical thing. This is your location data has been searched by the authorities because all they asked for was this location. And if you've ever been in a place where they happen to be looking, I mean, almost certainly everybody's in some way has been searched by the government this way.
Do the numbers make a difference? Would it matter if only 1% of users enabled location history?
I don't think it should matter. The government has made a point about the fact that only one-third enabled it, but I actually don't think those matters really are significant. Because if you view a person as having, you know, a property interest in the data, in other words, if you treat one's account as kind of a virtual safety deposit box, then I don't think it matters how many people have these virtual safety deposit boxes. Even if it's only one, if the legal relationship to the data is similar to the legal relationship between someone who sends a package.
Can they go looking through your safe deposit boxes in a bank in order to find who might be the person there? And the answer is no. Not unless they have reason to believe that it's in this box and know that it's this person, but that's not what they're doing. They're just looking through all of them to see if they can find something. It's a fishing expedition is kind of the concept. We'll come back to this in just a second. PJ is in for John Pickens again today with traffic on the fives.
I-10 and 110 both continue to look good. 9 mile accident free. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
So back to this conversation at the Supreme Court, you have Samuel Alito also raising the issue of, but you had to turn it on. And once you turn it on, aren't you surrendering that information to the third party who can then be asked by the government to search through it in order for their purposes?
Mr. Unikowski, it's not just a question of shutting. It's not a question of shutting it off. It's a question of turning it on. And according to the government, your client had to go through multiple steps in order to turn it on. So he voluntarily disclosed to Google the information about where he was going to be.
So if I can make 2 points about the voluntariness argument that the government advances. So first of all, I actually don't think it should matter for Fourth Amendment purposes that there was voluntariness, because it's quite common for people to consent to putting their data in the cloud, in the sense of every time you send an email or you send a document, have a Google Calendar entry, all those things you're consenting it to sending it in an encrypted fashion from your phone to the cloud. But I don't think that the consent merely to have your data stored in this virtual storage locker in and of itself is consent to disclose to the government.
Now do you start to see the implications? We're not just talking about your historical movements that can be available through your location data history, but the government's position on this is, number one, you gave it up voluntarily, therefore you can't complain about it being used or searched. Number two, they don't even believe there was a search. I mean, I'm not going to play the clips from Eric Fagan, but the Deputy Solicitor General for the I'll play him next hour when we come back to this at 7:40. But the Deputy Solicitor General believes that there's no search. Like, the Fourth Amendment doesn't even apply. Because the government agent's eyes did not look at the data. They just sent a request with a warrant to Google to look at the data and then to give them back the results. And so they think because Google looks at the information, it's not even a government search. What would that apply to if that were true? It would mean that your photos are not a government search if they wanted to have Google look through them for certain interesting features. It would mean that your calendar would not be, you know, your emails. Anything that is stored off of your phone in some Google account could be searched by Google on behalf of the government, because none of that is a search, according to them. Since A, you gave it up voluntarily to be stored on the cloud, and B, it's not even the government doing the searching. To which you might say, wait, what? I never intended for the government to be able to look at my pictures without a warrant. I never intended for the government, or even with a warrant, to look generally at everybody's pictures in order to find which of us have the pictures they're looking for. I never consented to all of that. But that's the argument that's kind of being made by the government, and the implication that's being taken here by Unikowsky in response to the questions from John Roberts and Samuel Alito.
He not only turned it on, but had he read his contract with Google, he could see that Google retained the right to turn this information over to law enforcement if it thought that that was appropriate.
That is the same provision that exists for everything that you store in Google servers, including email and documents and everything else. So it seems to me, if you're going to accept that argument, and that is really the end of the Fourth Amendment for any private document you're storing with Google.
Remember when you were setting up your phone, or when you were activating the service and you clicked OK on that massive agreement that you never read? Well, in it, it says that they can use it for law enforcement purposes. But that's true of, again, your photos, your calendar, everything that's on your contacts, your emails, all of that. Because who's going to really pay attention to all of that stuff? That's a very low bar to be used as a way to completely avoid accountability under the Fourth Amendment.
Mr. Unikowsky, I'm struggling to understand why we are hearing this case, other than the fact that at least four of us voted to take it. 14 of the 15 judges on the en banc Fourth Circuit voted to affirm. Nine relied on the good faith exception. Unless you think that we're going to say something that convinces, that unless you think we are going to say no reasonable officer could believe that this was a valid warrant, or we're going to say something that will convince the judges on the Fourth Circuit to reach that conclusion, what you're asking for is an advisory opinion. That's number one. This involves a Google feature that it doesn't exist any longer.
Because it's stored on your phone, not stored at Google, and so the difference is you own it now. Google can't search it anymore. They've changed the way the thing works.
That's number two. It involves a warrant that is structured in a particular way. That's number three.
As in the facts of the case, particularly with this one.
We are all free to write law review articles on this fascinating subject. But that seems to be what you're asking for, asking for basically a law review article on a subject that it is largely unexplored by our precedents.
And he's not wrong. The one thing they could decide is that the case is moot, because the guy already got convicted. It was already for something that a service that no longer exists. The warrant was granted, and there's a thing called a good faith exception when law enforcement clearly is trying to do the right thing in a legally uncertain area. You give them the benefit of the doubt. And so even if it was determined that this shouldn't be done in the future, the service that makes it possible doesn't exist anymore in quite the same way. And the law enforcement officer is going to be given the benefit of the doubt call. Tie goes to the cop, basically. So it's a moot case. They could argue, okay? But there have been dozens of major tech companies that have weighed in with amicus briefs here asking to know, because this is relevant to all of them. All of the stuff that they store about you that could and does get queried by the government, they ask them to do searches. So is it a search? Isn't it a search? And as Sonia Sotomayor pointed out, you know, look, if this isn't a search, then they can look at anything. All they have to do is find a willing third party who's able to do it. Now, as Eric Winstrom pointed out to us yesterday, some judges have become a little bit more nuanced in what they require for the warrant. You know, prove to me that there's something connected to the phone that would make this relevant to search in connection to a criminal case. But, this is a completely new level of surveillance for the police, because they can essentially, you know, if they put a guy outside of your house, they can watch your movements, right? Well, this is their ability to say, well, you know, we didn't watch him on Tuesday when we should have been watching him, but we can just go back in history and look at where you've been for the last week or month or year, or where anybody, thousands of people have been in a certain vicinity over the course of time. We can go back with the phone movement history, the location history data. We can look at almost anything that we want to look at. And the argument on the other side is that, you know, look, people expect some privacy.
When the police are searching or asking for a search result, there's no way to predict whether they're going to invade your privacy, correct?
That's right. Searches are determined ex ante.
Regrettably, because people take their phone now everywhere, including, I suspect, some people to the bathroom.
I suspect.
You really have no idea what information, private information, because it'll follow you to a brothel. It'll follow you to a cannabis shop. It'll follow you to just about anywhere where there's a reasonable expectation of privacy, correct?
Yes.
And so inside your home, going places that you would definitely not want people to know you're going to. And the other side says, well, I mean, you could always turn it off. You know, if you're not even going to try to hide your movements, then it's not the government's fault that you were dumb and shared that information with Google and then we asked them to search for it. I do not know what the Supreme Court's going to rule on this. They were very conflicted. It was very unclear how they're going to decide. But if they even do decide, this is a very important case. And we'll come back to it again next hour. 6:55 on News Radio 92.3. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash Pace Boulevard at Loretta Street in Pensacola. No roadblock associated with that. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
If you need any kind of work done on the complicated systems inside your home, the plumbing, the air conditioning, the heating, the electrical, a generator installed, maintained, any of that kind of stuff, Peden, they'll take care of you for that. Good quality products and people installing them, 100% satisfaction guarantee. And they have been running this business since, 1969, a long time. And they are all over the Gulf Coast, everywhere. They started in Panama City with just air conditioning back in the day. Robert Peden did, and then expanded the product line and geographically to Tallahassee, to Pensacola, to Baldwin County in the last couple of years, even into Mobile. So they are now everywhere along the Gulf Coast for any of these kinds of needs. And this spring, you can get 2 years of smart care for free with any new air conditioning system purchased from Peden. That includes scheduled maintenance, priority service, and 15% off the repairs, all included. You can call or book online at Peden, P-E-A-D-E-N.com.
In the time it takes to watch one episode of your favorite show, you could be approved for your auto loan. While your dinner's in the oven, you could be comparing rates. By the time your morning coffee is brewed, those keys to your new car could practically be in your hand. PenAir Credit Union doesn't just process auto loans. We beam you straight into the driver's seat. Fast approvals, low rates, and easy financing. Apply now at penair.org/autoloans. Federally insured by NCUA.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Good dental health starts at the beginning of life. For infants, wipe their gums with a clean, soft cloth after feeding and make sure to schedule your child's initial dental visit before their first birthday. As your child grows, make sure they brush twice a day and floss before bed, limit sugary snacks and drinks, and schedule regular dental checkups. Focusing on healthy dental habits early helps children grow into healthy adults. Visit floridahealth.gov/dentalhealth to learn more. This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Health and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Thought you might be interested in training me.
I don't train girls.
Maybe you should. People see me fat, say I'm pretty tough.
Girly, tough ain't enough.
Good morning, 6:58, News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with a headline or two for us. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. The Trump administration, their new counterterrorism strategy has been released. It targets left-wing groups, Islamic extremists, and narco traffickers. The senior director for counterterrorism, Sebastian Gorka, released the strategy this week. He says 2025 saw more left-wing terror attacks than right-wing for the first time in three decades. And President Trump says efforts to end the war in Iran continued despite yesterday's skirmish. U.S. Central Command says it conducted self-defense strikes against Iranian targets, but apparently the ceasefire is still on.
Also, you might be able to soon ship your handgun through the Postal Service, as if people would do that, but they've long had a rule against shipping concealable firearms, but now looks like they might reverse themselves after almost 100
years.
Listen
on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
They better sign the agreement fast.
I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. That's President Trump's message to Iran as he pushes for a nuclear deal to end the conflict, and he downplays a flare-up in fighting.
If there's no ceasefire, you're not going to have to know. You're just going to have to look at one big glow coming out of Iran.
Fox's Peter Ducey's at the White House.
These were unprovoked attacks from Iran using small boats, missiles, and drones against three U.S. destroyers who President Trump says took care of business.
We took our three destroyers and we rammed them through some pretty big stuff today. They were firing at us and we were firing back at them. And our firepower was a hell of a lot stronger than theirs, and they knocked the hell out of them.
We also got reaction last night from President Trump to another ruling against his tariffs.
We had two radical left judges that voted against it. So.